The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As John stood with two of his disciples, Jesus passed. And John stared hard at him, said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." Hearing this, the two disciples followed Jesus. Jesus turned round, saw them following, said, "What do you want?" They answered, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where do you live?" "Come and see," he replied. So they went and saw where he lived and stayed with him the rest of that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of these two who became followers of Jesus after hearing what John had said was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Early next morning, Andrew met his brother and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ, and he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked hard at him, said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Kephas," meaning rock. The Gospel of the Lord. You probably wonder, having just heard that Gospel, when we're going to begin this year of Mark. Because we had reading from Mark last week, now we're back to John. Well, two reasons. One is because Mark is the earliest but the shortest the gospel, moving at a rapid pace. So it's backed up by sections from John. And actually John writes quite differently. And in a way, you know, I always say to you, when we get to green time, it's that growing time, growing the mystery that we've still celebrated, the crib still there, we can keep the crib till Candlemas, and the tree. I thought it looked so beautiful, and it always is the light of the world, just reminding us that Christ is that light. And John came as a witness to the light, so that they're still there to remind us that we need to take in what it is that we've celebrated. Because John is far more interested in the theology, in a sense, of Jesus' life than the other gospel writers, who often just do one, particularly Mark, just one thing after the other in Jesus' life and history. Because it's John that unfolds for us the great mystery of the Incarnation, the Word of God, Son of the Father, who becomes flesh. And in a way, he condenses the whole call of those first disciples into this little one episode. The other gospel writers take longer over it, and for instance, Luke, the call comes only when they've seen the miracle of the haul of the great fish, and it's much later on that Peter gets his new name. Here in John, the emphasis is, once you've sort of drawn some of the mystery that we've celebrated, then you're called. And here John's emphasis is on the call of God, which is why it's linked, of course, with that first reading of Samuel. So John puts it all together from the divine perspective, what's begun in that mystery and that call is already complete. So the call of these early disciples sets a pattern for the call of all later disciples. And we are those later disciples. So we need reflecting on that. And the first thing is, from that gospel, faith comes from hearing. The story begins with the witness of John the Baptist, who says this strange thing. If you think about it, if you're walking down the street and you suddenly looked at someone and said, "Oh, there's the Lamb of God." And you saw a man walking, you wouldn't, if you saw a lamb walking, you might think that is the Lamb of God. You wouldn't necessarily think that, would you? But they, in their time, were full of expectation. And John, as we know from Advent time, was that prophetic figure. So if he said something, they listened. So he said, "There is the Lamb of God." Something we hear every time we hear at Mass, we sing it. And I say, "Behold the Lamb of God, you take away." So John points to Jesus and he says something. Faith comes from hearing. St. Paul, it is, writing to the Romans, said they will not believe in him unless they have heard of him. And they will not hear of him unless they get a preacher. That gift of faith comes from God. But it's delivered to us by people. People like our parents, our grandparents, our catechists, our teachers, those believers that we meet on our journey through life. Most of us, apart from the very young ones among us, if they go to our school, they're all right. But most of us, when we were growing up, whatever school you went to in our nation, you probably had a Bible reading, you had the Lord's Prayer, probably a hymn. It's virtually gone. So unless people, the young now, are taught, it's not gone in our schools, Catholic schools, Church of England schools, still have that sort of pattern. But a lot have abandoned it. So they won't hear, the young will not hear, unless we're there to tell them. So parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, teachers, catechists, our job is that, first of all, faith comes from hearing. Because they can have all the iPads and all the latest things, but if you don't put in Jesus and what it's all about, they won't know. They'll only know because we've told them. So John the Baptist is that good witness because he said, he tells them, there is the Lamb of God. But also, the thing about John is, he points away from himself. There's a lovely picture of John. It's an old master thing. John pointing and Jesus. And there, you see, because John knows he's a witness to the light, but he's not the light. The light is Jesus. And if we reflect any light at all, it's the light of Jesus in our lives, focusing on him wherever we are. So we need, therefore, to deepen our knowledge so that we can impart it to others. Several stories of John's Gospel we hear of people growing in their faith that doesn't come in the other Gospels. The great Gospels that we get in Year A in Lent, three beautiful stories from St. John, the woman at the well, the man born blind, Mary and Martha at the raising of Lazarus. And the titles they all use are about, I saw a man. The woman goes back to the village and said, come see a man. And the blind man said, oh, it was a man called Jesus. And Martha and Mary know Jesus as someone that they hospitality look after. But then the woman and the man born blind begin to say, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And then, in the end, come, they acknowledge who he is, the Christ, the Messiah. Well, so it is in today's reading. They follow Jesus, and they say to him, teacher, rabbi. They just see him as an ordinary man and teacher, rabbi. But staying with him, spending time with him, Andrew says, we found the Messiah, the Christ. And he goes the next day to get his brother. So we need to have that process of, we see, we've worshipped the infant Christ. As I'm always saying to you, St. John Paul II always said to us, contemplate in this time of mine the infant Christ, that human in a sense of Christ, but also the suffering Christ and the risen Christ. And we use all those. And when it says John stared hard at Jesus, it's our time of prayer, our prayer with Jesus, concentrating more on that face of Christ, whichever face we look at, so that we're growing in what we're celebrating. But then we share it with others. The witness of the Baptist, it says, was given on the third day. Now, the third day suggests a rising to new life. On Easter, we sing, On the third morn, he rose again. The third morn. It's always that sense of new life. I know it's the first day of the week, but that's not what the hymn says. It says, on the third morn, the third day, he rose again. And this all happens on the third day. And on the fourth day, Andrew meets his brother. So he'd drink in those days, as it were, of the Lord and all that he is. And then on the fourth day, we go out. It's very interesting aside, because John is very sort of concentrating on these third days. If you think, you see, Samuel was called three times. Think of the poor old Eli being woken up three times in the night, one after the other. Parents, you know about that, don't you? And anyway, but it's on the third call, say the third night, so the next day he's ready to respond and do the Lord's will. Interesting, in the raising of Lazarus, John says he's been dead 4 days. It'll already stink. That means, you know, you can't do anything about that. But of course, Jesus can. So the three and the four come together. Because that fourth day, yes, Jesus can raise him. And now you go and tell about the resurrection. Which is what Jesus says to Mary Magdalene in the garden on Easter day, on that third day. Go quickly and tell my brothers. So off she goes, as it were, the fourth day. Moving on to tell others about the faith that we have, the love that we have, and of course, hope. There's a lovely children's hymn we don't sing here, but some people here will remember it. It's about love is like a magic penny. Love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, they roll all over the floor. But it's a reminder that once we've captured Jesus in that faith of who he is, in the love that's shown to us through him of the Father, the hope that we receive from him, we then can go out and bring others to that. And the last thing, a new name. The new name, we all receive our name in our baptism. First question when parents come to baptism, what name have you given your child? When we meet Jesus, which is what we come to do in baptism, we give him the name. And we reaffirm that, even strengthen it, as we maybe take another name at our confirmation. Because we're raised to a new level of life with Jesus, a new identity. Just as Abraham, our father in faith, was Abraham, became Abraham, Sarai becomes Sarah, so that new level sends us out to bring others to know Christ. So that little short gospel in the first reading are packed full of things to reflect on in this growing time following Christmas. But our response is the psalm response. I hope, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.